Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, do U.S. taxpayers know how much they give to the U.S. war machine?
The U.S. is number one by far in the world in terms of military spending.
As the U.S. tax dollars going to Israel become more and more visible, more Americans are taking an interest in what it would mean not to pay. I'm Natasha Del Toro, and this is The Take. Monday is the annual deadline for many U.S. residents to pay their taxes.
Do your own taxes online with H&R Block, and tax season will feel just as good as all those other seasons.
It's taxes day!
Like holiday season. It's the
maximum refund. In the U.S., taxpayers are responsible for submitting their own tax bills to the government. Those taxes can fund things like national parks and health care, but they also go to the U.S. war machine, in amounts that are making some taxpayers angrier this year in particular.
How the hell do we practice war tax resistance? Help me. I don't want to go to jail.
Girl, we just don't pay it. We being defiant, we being disobedient.
And what we ain't gonna do is fund genocide in 2023.
Adding up where those tax dollars go are people like Lindsay Kashgarian.
I'm the program director at the National Priorities Project at the Institute for Policy Studies, and I'm in Northampton, Massachusetts.
Hi, Lindsay. I'm so glad you're here with us today. We know that taxes are due on Monday, April 15th, and as we watch the U.S. give billions to fund wars in Ukraine and Gaza, we can see some of how much of that hard-earned money Americans are giving to these war efforts.
$75 billion. That's about how much aid the U.S. has committed to Ukraine since the beginning of Russia's bloody full-scale invasion.
The U.S. provides about $3.8 billion in aid to Israel every year. And since World War II, the U.S. has provided more foreign aid to Israel than any other country.
What do we know about how much the U.S. war machine costs?
Yes, so as you said, the U.S. war machine is enormous. The military budget in the U.S. is pushing close to $1 trillion these days, but it's really hard for most people to wrap their head around numbers like that. What is a trillion even? So every year we do a tax receipt that shows people where their income tax dollars are going. And what we found this year is that the average taxpayer is contributing more than $2,900 to the Pentagon, and more than half of that, or over $1,700, is going specifically to the Pentagon's corporate contractors. So that's more than the average monthly rent in the United States.
Wow.
All war efforts put together, we would calculate all of the U.S.'s militarism, both abroad and domestically, so including incarceration, including deportations, including all of those things. If you total all of that up, it comes to over $5,000 per taxpayer.
Oh my gosh, those numbers are really staggering. And how do they compare to money for other programs then? I mean, how would you break down the rest of where one tax dollar goes?
Yes, so the U.S. is number one in military spending. We are number one in selling weapons around the world. We are not number one in almost any of the categories where you would want us to see us come in number one. We're not number one in terms of lifespan. We're not number one in terms of health outcomes. We're not number one in terms of child poverty. So, for example, the child tax credit, which in the U.S. was expanded over the last few years during the pandemic and was responsible for cutting child poverty in this country almost in half. The average taxpayer for the child tax credit was contributing just $110. So the average taxpayer is giving more than 10 times as much for Pentagon contractors as they were for this program that cut child poverty in half.
How much more does the U.S. spend when it comes to military spending? I know it sort of outranks, you know, many other countries.
Yeah, so the U.S. outspends the next 10 countries combined. So there is a huge gap between U.S. military spending and the next countries. And many of those next countries are actually considered U.S. allies. So it's really just driven by the U.S. policy desire to have the largest and most powerful military and have complete military dominance all over the world. So we're outspending the next 10 countries, and that's because we have things like 750 military installations around the world.
Wow.
And of course, you know, it's one thing to have bases around the perimeter of the United States, but there is no defensive reason for having 750 military installations in dozens of countries. And it's this military sprawl that drives this enormous budget. And of course, we're also the number one weapons seller to the world. So by far, the U.S. sells more weapons to militaries around the world than any other country.
If Americans knew how much money they were putting towards, you know, militarism, what do you think the response would be?
Well, that's why we want people to know how much money they're putting towards militarism, because we know what their feelings about it are. Right now, a strong majority of Americans, more than half, want to see an immediate ceasefire and cease to military operations in Gaza and support an immediate ceasefire.
According to a new survey, only 32% Americans say the U.S. should support Israel militarily. 68% say there should be a ceasefire.
Obviously, our tax dollars are going towards those things. So it's a significant investment that people are making. And really right now, it's driven by military aid to Ukraine and Israel. And we know that people are opposed to those military operations. So we can only expect that they would be opposed to their tax dollars going toward those wars.
How opposed are they? A growing number of people want to withhold part of their taxes. That's after the break.
The Inside Story podcast dissects, analyzes, and helps define major global stories. We get into the details with experts who explain how policies affect people. The Inside Story podcast by Al Jazeera. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
This tax season, groups that advocate tax resistance, non-payment of the portion of U.S. taxes that are spent on war, say they've received more inquiries about that tactic than in recent years, attributing it to the war in Gaza. But how doable that is an open question.
Well, for one thing, it's not legal. And so there are ramifications, potentially, if you withhold your tax dollars.
We also heard from some people who are advocating another route, helping people to calculate just how much of their tax bill is spent on Israel's war in Gaza, and then to donate the same amount of money to aid organizations working there. It's called Offset for Gaza. And Aya Helmi, one of the organizers, told us that people have donated more than $50,000 already.
I brought a group of volunteers together in November to develop a response to the attack on Gaza. We incubated a number of ideas during this time, including Offset for Gaza. We created Offset because we wanted to find a way to inform Americans of where our tax dollars are going, to give people a tangible and easy way to be involved, and to help fill the impending gap in food, medicine, and services that would be left by the suspension of UNRWA funding by the U.S.
United Nations officials are urging countries to reconsider a pause in funding for the UN Agency for Palestinians, or UNRWA. At least 9 countries, including top donors, the US and Germany, have paused funding for UNRWA.
The campaign is still in its early stages. At this point, we've been able to route over $50,000 to the organizations listed in our website, including Doctors Without Borders, UNRWA USA, and Save the Children. The response has been great. Americans of conscience have been so frustrated that their hard-earned money is going towards absolutely decimating the people and infrastructure in Gaza. So whenever I show Offset to anybody, they are so excited and relieved to have a mechanism to reduce the harm their money is doing in Gaza. People see the amount calculated for them and it feels like a small number. But a friend of mine actually ran a community campaign with her neighborhood to get everyone to give their offset. And their block of like 13 families had contributed almost $5,000. These numbers really do add up quickly.
So that's one option, trying to sort of cancel out the damage done. Lindsay also mentioned tax resistance.
There are people who are tax resistors and who will actually withhold a portion of their income taxes. They're frequently known as war resistors. But of course, the other more ordinary way to resist paying these taxes is to contact your member of Congress and use the pressure that you have as a constituent to let your member of Congress know that you disagree with this spending. And there are so many opportunities to let your member of Congress know where you want those dollars going if you're not ready to take that full step of withholding the amount of taxes and that goes toward war. But for people who are withholding taxes, they're using things like our tax receipt to help them know what the dollar amount is that they want to withhold. Because while you might want to take money away from the war machine, you might not want to take money away from the child's tax credit or from food stamps or other programs. So that's where something like our tax receipt can come in useful.
And, you know, we also know that tax avoidance is a big problem in the United States.
The Treasury Department's saying the amount of uncollected taxes could reach $7 trillion over the next decade.
The IRS says the amount of uncollected taxes will be in the trillions over the next decade, and it's likely because of wealthy tax cheats.
So why is it specifically that this form of civil disobedience is difficult?
Well, the vast majority of tax resistance is not coming from war resistors. The vast majority of tax resistance is coming from wealthy individuals and corporations that are using, in most cases, legal loopholes to avoid paying the same tax rates that most of us pay on the income that we earn from work.
The majority of us see the line item right in our own paychecks, but the wealthiest Americans are legally paying little to no income tax.
And that's a huge problem. So part of the reason that we don't have enough funds, or seemingly don't have enough funds, for things like the child's tax credit, which was almost cut back just a few weeks ago, is because we're pouring so much money into the military and war. Another part of the reason, of course, is that we have wealthy individuals who are paying a much lower tax rate than the average taxpayer. And we have corporations, profitable large corporations with names that you would recognize, like T-Mobile, that have paid zero taxes in many years, even years where they were profitable.
Is there any kind of precedent to people not paying taxes as sort of like moral protest?
There is. There's a long tradition of people not paying taxes as moral protest, and it's not something that's terribly common. We don't know exactly how many people are doing it, partly because it is not legal, and so it tends to be something that people don't advertise. But there is a long, long tradition of war resistors in particular withholding segments of their taxes in order to not support the U.S. war machine.
Approximately how many people, to your knowledge, are participating in some form of war tax resistance?
Well, our estimations are around 100,000, but it's probably a lot more. We have people all over the country in front of IRSs today.
I've known some of these people throughout my work in this area. And, you know, it can result in things like the federal government seizing some of your assets, so seizing your property for unpaid taxes and things. So it doesn't come without consequences. So these are people who have tremendous conviction.
It sounds risky. Lindsay explained some of the other options.
So withholding taxes is one option. I think that a possibly more powerful option is to join resistance movements. Right now, we've seen an amazing outpouring of support for Palestinians. We've seen amazing resistance to the U.S. sending weapons to Israel in terms of street protest, in terms of right now in my own town, the college students are occupying their college hall to support Palestine and the Israeli military action there, calling for ceasefire, calling for reinstating humanitarian aid in Gaza. And I think those kinds of actions are actually the most powerful because they're the most visible. They offer the most opportunity for people to join together in numbers. And they honestly create more pressure on our elected politicians than individual people withholding their tax dollars, which is something that's not easy to see. It's much easier for politicians to ignore, and it is much harder for them to ignore people out in the street, outside of their offices or inside of their offices, or in the media, on the news. And so I think those things where people join together in numbers and make their protest extremely visible are really probably the most powerful things we have.
And that's The Take. This episode was produced by David Enders and Farenisa Campana, with Suri El-Khalili, Khaled Sultan, Amy Walters, Nagin Oliai, Chloe K. Lee, Miranda Lin, Ashish Malhotra, Sonia Bhagat, Zaina Badr, and me, Natasha Del Toro, in for Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Alexander Locke is The Take's executive producer. And Ney Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back tomorrow.